welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show with your hosts, Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Austin Brower, and I'm so glad to have you with us today. And again, we do have Dr. Ted Brower on the show with us, so that's a treat as well. How are you doing today, Ted?
Austin, I'm doing great. I kind of made it a little bit too big of a commitment on myself. I drove all the way from Zurich all the way up to Nuremberg, which is about a 300-mile drive. It's not too bad of a drive. The problem was it was raining like cats and dogs almost the whole way up, and that kind of put a lot of stress as far as energy on me. So I had to come here and take a nap before the show, but I'm back. I'm in Nuremberg, doing great.
Well, good. I'm glad you made it safely. Yeah, when it rains over there in Europe, it's like it is over here in Florida, man. It monsoons hard, and it's rough driving on that with the eye fatigue and everything else on the highway. Were you on at least a decent road, or is it still potholed up?
No. We're in Germany now, so basically the roads are perfect except for the construction, and the construction can go on for miles and miles. But the like you said, though, it kind of whites out on you at a high speed. So you can't drive too fast because with the water coming off the cars in front of you, you got to be careful not to overdrive your headlights and overdrive your vision. So you got to be really careful in the rain. But it wasn't like one of those gully washers like we get in Central Florida with those Polk County toad stranglers. It wasn't one of those, but it was some pretty heavy rain coming on up. Finally, I said I had enough of this, and we started praying for the rain weather to clear up. And then just in a few minutes later, of course, the weather cleared up. So that was nice, too. So it was a beautiful, beautiful day after that. So we got to stop by a little town called Rotenburg Opter Talbert, and we stayed there for about an hour. I just took a break from the driving because it was really pretty much on the way, and that was a lot of fun. So if you guys ever have a chance to come over here, that's a great little medieval town that was built about 1,000 years ago that actually escaped the Allied bombings in World War II. And so it's still intact, and so it's a beautiful place to go. In fact, it's one of the best maintained walled small towns in the world from the medieval days in Europe. So it's great.
That's exciting. That's really cool. But the first article I wanted to address today, and we've talked about this numerous times now, but another, substantial new study has come out now and found that women who receive more active sunlight exposure were far less at risk of cardiovascular disease. The study published in March of the Journal of Internal Medicine found the avoidance of direct sunlight could actually be harmful to a person, even as much as smoking. The study was conducted by Swedish researchers who studied 30,000 women assessing the differences in sun exposure as a risk factor for all-cause mortality. Women with active sun exposure habits were mainly at lower risk of cardiovascular disease and non-cancer, non-CVD death as compared to those who avoided sun exposure. And as you already know, Dad, a lot of this is contributed to the vitamin D levels. And vitamin D is such an important supplement in your overall life. And it's the sunshine vitamin. Sunshine helps the body directly convert it into vitamin D. And that's what so many people are lacking now, especially with inside jobs. Everybody's always on the phones all the time. So people get a lot less sun than they used to. That's why it's really important to supplement with a good quality vitamin D on a regular basis. And if you're concerned about it, get your blood levels checked as well and find out what your overall vitamin D levels are. I know you guys do that all the time, especially over there in Europe. You definitely got to be taking a lot of vitamin D, I'm sure, Dad, because it's a lot of overcast over there a lot of times.
Well, Health Masters has a 10,000 IU product. And, I mean, most people are going to get 20, 30, 40, 50 IU at their local health food store. We have a 10,000 IU product. So it's a product that you can take probably every other day and be pretty good with it. If you're going to take it every day, we occasionally ask you to go ahead and run over to the doctor's office to get a blood level of vitamin D to be tested, because vitamin D is absolutely critical for a healthy immune system, because, as you know, vitamin D is the activating molecule for the macrophages, which is part of the white blood cell system. And if you don't have sufficient quantities of vitamin D in your system, or if the macrophage can't use the vitamin D, Austin, what ends up happening is your immune system is significantly compromised, and you massively increase your risks of cancer. And so, yes, there's no doubt about it. When you have a study that shows that women who get more sun have lower risks of cancer, one of the primary reasons is going to be because of the macrophages and the vitamin D. Also, another thing that's interesting, we've been shown now that we can actually absorb energy levels. Some of the studies are being done showing that human beings can actually get energy from sun. Now, we always thought that was impossible, that we had to go through the chlorophyll stage through plants. But it's been really interesting with some of the research they've been showing, because, of course, we're energy beings. And so now they're finding more and more significance in getting proper sunshine. But the problem with that is, Austin, we've lost about a third of the total sun on the planet now, as far as in our NATO countries, because of global dimming due to chemtrails. And these chemtrails are massively decreasing the amount of vitamin D that our body's able to make. And that's one of the other reasons that I believe they're doing that, is because it's massively, causing a problem with our immune systems. And our immune systems are being compromised because of this lack of sunshine. On top of that, we're using all these ointments all over our body with these sunscreens, which are showing us that, you know, we're getting less and less absorption of the vitamin, or manufacturing the vitamin D from the cholesterol. The body actually takes the cholesterol, which is in the skin, and converts it into vitamin D3 from sunshine. And when you don't have sufficient quantities of sun hitting your skin, or using tanning lotions with SPFs in them, especially with PABA, which is a really toxic product, it really causes cancer, then you really also decrease the amount of production of vitamin D. So, yeah, sunbathing, laying in the sun is really, really good for you in the later days and parts of the afternoon when the sun's not really, really bright. If you're in a northern climate, it's not that big of a deal. But here in Florida, or I should say there in Florida, you really need to avoid being in the sunshine, you know, in the heat of the summertime, you know, from 11 till 3. That'll really cook your skin and cause skin damage and can increase the risks of skin cancer. But I personally believe that if you get good quality sunshine and have a good tan, the risks of getting skin cancer can be much less, you know, than you think they would be, because you're getting so much additional vitamin D made. So, but the sun does cause skin damage and does cause wrinkling. So just be careful and use discernment. Don't just be laying out in the sun for 6 or 8 hours coating down a baby oil trying to cook yourself. That's not healthy either.
Well, this is another article now from Reuters, and we brought this up before, and I want to bring it up again, just of how far we're starting to turn into a giant police state. It goes on here to say that thousands of military weapons, trucks, and hundreds of aircraft worth over $2.2 billion now have been sent by the Pentagon to police departments around the state over the last 10 years. Now, you've heard me bring this up all the time. And what's crazy now, it says since 2006, in the last 10 years, more than 83,000 M16 machine guns worth $31 million have been transferred into the hands of local police, including tens of thousands of night vision sights, scopes, infrared, mine detecting sets, grenade launchers, bayonets. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But the worst part of the article that I found is they specifically singled out us here in Florida. They go on in the middle of the article where they say Florida has benefited most from the program, with police receiving more than $300 million worth of military gear. This is dramatically higher than the next two states on the list. Texas, which is obviously one of the biggest states in the country, only received $170 million in equipment, and California received $162 million worth of equipment. They said also in Florida, the state highway patrol alone earned possession of 18,000 M16 machine guns, plus 6 armored vehicles, 3 MRATs, and 3 combat assault tactical vehicles. Now, the problem, this is what kind of bothered me when I read this article and I got to the end. What in the world does the highway patrol need MRAPs and armored vehicles and almost, 2,000 machine guns? I pulled up the numbers on it. There's only 2,300 total employees in the Florida Highway Patrol. And of those, there's 1,792 total troopers that are active that drive, which means every single Florida State trooper that's an active driver got a M16 machine gun. That doesn't really seem necessary to me. I'm not really sure why the state troopers are basically there to enforce speeding, and they do. So in some cases, they shouldn't. And basically handle, road casualties, accidents, stuff like that. So these guys don't have specific SWAT teams. If they need backup, they call local county. Why do these guys need MRAPs and local, armored vehicles like this and machine gun for every state trooper? Is it just me, or do you find that to be a tad bit excessive down here in Florida, Dad?
Well, you kind of just ask yourself a question. What are they preparing for? I mean, why in the world this many MRAPs? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. But again, remember, the government military industrial complex that's being run by the Rothschild banking cartel with its interlocking corporate distributorships and distributorships directorships, it basically is a military arm. I mean, through Halliburton and everything else, and they make billions, if not trillions of dollars in defense acquisitions and purchases. And what they do a lot of times, Austin, they get all these extra MRAPs that they bought and they paid for and they have nothing to do with them. So to justify their existence of what they're doing and how much money they're spending, they start giving them to local law enforcement. And I think a lot of it has to do with that, son. I really believe these guys are so inept that they can't even maintain inventory or control of their inventory or products that they're buying. So they're justifying by buying all of this stuff by giving it away to all these police departments. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me, unless they're planning on complete and total martial law in the whole country, which they could be doing that too.
Well, yeah, when you start seeing, I mean, Florida Highway Patrol, and like I said, I mean, their sole purpose is basically, you know, Highway Patrol. That's what they do. They don't have special active SWAT teams or anything like that. So, I mean, why do these guys need all these heavy, heavy machines like MRAPs floating around? Like you said, I mean, one of the only options that I see even viable is that they want to make sure all these local law enforcements, when they're called upon by the federal government to enforce whatever type of tyranny the government wants to, you know, enforce, that they basically have active arms to do so, because I see no legitimate purpose other than that, especially when you see the government doing stuff like 1986 Firearm Protection Owners Act that prevents us from, you know, possessing or buying post-sample machine guns after that date. You put all these things together, you know, you put A, B, C together, you start realizing that there's a pretty, you know, sinister formula at the end of it. So I just thought I would address that. Now, with the HPV vaccine, sadly enough, another one now, after receiving a second dose of HPV vaccine, 13-year-old Chazelle immediately fell ill at Derby High School. 5 days after the school-sponsored dose of immunization, she died. She was given the second dose and started suffering severe headaches, vomiting, dizziness, and her symptoms became so severe, her family took her to the Fairfield Hospital. The family claimed the doctor completely dismissed her condition that was linked to the cervical cancer jab, said that she had a stomach bug and sent her home. She collapsed at home and was unconscious with no pulse, and an hour after she arrived home and died in the hospital 4 hours later. I don't know how many of these stories have to keep coming out over and over and over and over again about HPV to make people realize that this is an absolutely asinine compound to even be on the market. It is a toxic poison. We touched on it the other day, but when I see stuff like this and a little 13-year-old girl is dead, not injured, not, you know, autistic, no, she's dead. She will never live again because this vaccine was injected into her, and the fact that this stuff is still even on the market is so egregious to me, I don't even know where to begin. There's another article that I saw earlier now from King College's London. They started doing research, and they said that children now currently receive 49 doses of 14 different vaccines before the age of 6 now. They claim more than one vaccine within a one-year period is programming children for depressive behavior and creating overactive immune systems. But it was interesting. They looked at blood samples, and they found that a lot of individuals had altered patterns of gene expression before they even started taking a vaccine. People seem naturally to make more proteins that are involved in inflammation, oxidative stress, and the death of neurons, and fewer proteins involved in brain cell growth. Overall, this has a toxic effect on brain function, said Dr. Parente. She also claims it's not just one type, but all vaccinations are very problematic for the human immune system because they enter the body artificially through injection, which fails to inhibit the inflammatory cascade, a series of rapid biochemical events which propagates and matures the inflammatory response. And then they go on to say what I said at the beginning, children who receive more than one vaccine per year, this is one, are primed for overactive immune systems and inflammatory processes that cannot be recovered from. This relates to proteins interacting with immune cells which do not compensate for the foreign agents delivered by the injection and thus create the highest level of inflammation possible within the human body, stated Dr. Anosov. And then they finished off the article. They said, we have been publishing for years that vaccines are causing an epidemic of inflammatory diseases, including diabetes, obesity, and autism. However, the number of vaccines given to children has continued to rise to a point where we have reached a state of immune overload in roughly the majority of the young U.S. children. The plethora of different health effects that children are developing are because of this immune overload, says Dr. J. Bart Klassen, MD. This, I mean, it doesn't get any more blunt than that. That's about as direct as you can get. And these are all, I mean, known, highly regarded medical doctors that have been doing research on this now. People have to understand that this isn't an option anymore. I don't care whatever your state is, you either need to move or you need to figure out what you're going to do, but it continues to go up every year, more vaccines every year, more vaccines every year, and it's completely unacceptable. There's absolutely no reason to allow this to happen to your children. And like I said, I mean, you have to find a local doctor if you want to go that route that doesn't do this, because there's no reason to be putting this many vaccines. And I'm not saying I'm 100% no vaccine ever in your life, just like, you know, you're saying no, you know, anti-venom. I mean, well, obviously you get bit by a rattlesnake, you may need some anti-venom. There may be a specific reason for a vaccine in the future that you may need. But however, getting these 40 different doses, you know, before a year age, getting, what, 72 different vaccines by the time you're 18, it's unnecessary. And they say it right here. It causes an inflammatory response that cannot be reversed. It's completely out of control now. We talk about this all the time, Dad. I feel like we always talk about it. But I feel like it's always something else, another child dying. And it's just sad to me because I have a kid now, so I actually – It really hurts more, I guess, when you start realizing that these little kids are getting injected with this toxic poison that these doctors know is complete and total garbage, and they know what it does, and then they come in like this, and they say, oh, she's sick, she's having a response to this, oh, no, she has a food bug, she's fine, send her home, and she dies an hour later after she gets home. I mean, it's just sad.
Well, you know, a year ago, and I'm not going to mention any names out of respect for the people involved, we had a friend of the family who had committed never to immunize their children after we had worked with them for years and years and years after the child was born. And the young man's wife got pregnant, and they immediately changed their mind under peer pressure from the family members and started vaccinating the child. And I got into a heated debate with the young guy who's been a friend of ours for over 20 years. And I love the guy. He's like a son to me. And I told him, I said, look, I said, you know, this is not right. I said, you got to think through what you're doing. I said, the problem is he believes in providentialism, which is that God's hand is responsible for everything. So if you give somebody a shot of poison and they die, it was God's hand, they died. It was God's will, they died. That's what providentialism is. If you step in front of a semi truck and you get run over, it was God's will that you stepped in front of the semi truck and you die. That's what they believe. So they believe no matter what happens, it's God's will and it's God's responsibility on this planet. And see, this is how a lot of people justify what happens with vaccines. Well, if you're going to die from this vaccine, it was God's will for you to die. Well, guess what? It's not God's will, 1 in 48 people to have autism now. And I got very upset with this young fellow because, you know, we had spent a lot of time working with him, and you had too, as far as teaching him what the truth was about vaccine, but he allowed peer pressure from his family members to really affect him. And then he started justifying everything he was doing because of providentialism. See, this is the problem that happens with families. You know, that's why I'm going to tell you this right now. You know, as far as, you know, this morning I talked to a lady who, hang on one second, Stan, I need you to leave. Excuse me. You know, she's in there playing with her papers and clicking her pens and sharing, you're fine. And she's totally disrupting me. But this morning we had breakfast with one of our customers from Switzerland. And she actually met us over in Zurich that she wanted to meet us. And we had breakfast with her. She had her two-year-old with her, her two-year-old little boy, she calls him a Sharon Brower baby. And Austin, I fell in love with this little guy. He was 2 years old, blonde hair, curly blonde hair, white toe head with blue eyes. And he was absolutely beautiful. And smart and well-behaved. And he'd never had any vaccines. And she said that Switzerland's turned into basically a communist state. They require that you buy health insurance every year there. You have to buy health insurance. But they're from South Africa, so they already have another policy that they were spending $2,600 a month on. And then Switzerland's paying over another $1,000 a month. So they're spending close to $4,000 a month in health insurance. It's crazy, she said, how much money they're having to spend. And she said that, you know, she finally realized that she couldn't tell her family members that she wasn't going to vaccinate the kids, because she said that they simply don't understand, because all it does is creates conflict. Now, the reason I'm bringing all this up is this. her two-year-old is the healthiest child she has. She told me that because there's no vaccinations. Incredibly brilliant kid. I'd love to have had about 10 of him. He was incredibly. Reminded me of you when you were a little boy, Austin, the little boy Hunter's going to be. Now, but here's the point I'm making with all of this, so I'm not rambling here, fussing at Savannah in the room with me here. Here's the point. The thing is this. You know, this is a very personal thing you've got to decide for yourself. You know, don't listen to me or Austin as far as vaccinations. I mean, we can sit here and beat this thing like a dead horse because, God, we talk about it all the time. But the truth of the matter is this. You know, do your own research and realize that, you know, it's not your family or your aunt or your uncle or your cousin or your friends who are making this decision for you. It's you and your wife. You've got to make a decision for yourself. And you, a lot of times you can't tell the other family members what you're planning on doing. Just don't say anything. If they're pro vaccine and they're going to shoot up all their kids and they're going to hassle you about it, just drop it. Let it go. Because the truth is, all they're going to do is badger you and nag you. And there's no reason to be involved in a situation like that and cost yourself a friendship. I know when I fussed at this young man a year ago, I pretty much cost myself the friendship with this guy that I'd known him for 20 years. And sadly, you know, and I hope and pray that his kids don't come down with any type of learning disorder because of this. But here's what happens, and I'm going to briefly go over this with you. When you inject a foreign protein like these vaccines into your body suddenly, it kind of freaks out and says, this isn't supposed to be here. So it starts producing antibodies against these antigens, and these antibodies overwhelm the body. And what happens is the body can't keep up, especially if you don't have activated macrophages, the GCMAF in your body, and your body can't utilize the vitamin D or doesn't have enough vitamin D to utilize the macrophages start sending out chemical messengers called cytokines. This creates what's called a cytokine storm. Cytokine storms cause massive inflammation. And what it is that the body starts to inflame all over because the immune system is overwhelmed and basically shocked. It doesn't know what to do. This is what causes the encephalitic scream with these young children when they get these booster shots at around 18 months. Their bodies are so overwhelmed, sometimes even younger, that's 6 months. Their bodies are so overwhelmed by the vaccines that they go rigid, they arch their back, their brain starts to swell from the cytokine storm. And what ends up happening is they have cranial pressure causing tremendous pain in their brains, which can cause permanent brain damage. And the doctors say, this is normal. I read this just the other day about the guy who was writing the book on vaccines. He used to be the head of NBC. We talked about this. This is why it's so important that you understand, when you inject your child, you're taking it upon yourself to weigh the pros and the cons of the vaccines you're giving that child. And you're taking it upon yourself. If that child comes down with autism, it was not God's decision for that child to come down with autism. I don't believe for one second that God would intentionally infect a child with autism. You're taking it upon yourself that you're choosing that choice. Now, if God, if you've done all this and you didn't know about it and the child has autism, you know, there's grace for all that. I mean, I understand that. But guys, please, this is a child's life, a child's future, a child's brain, a child's IQ, a child's health, a child's everything. Healthy children are super easy to raise. You've already seen that with Hunter now. He's, you know, he's 3 weeks old. They're super easy to raise. They're happy. They don't like being, you know, they don't like getting cold. They don't like getting wet. They don't like having their diapers changed. You know, they want to be fed. But if you just maintain the basics in their life, they stay super healthy and super easy. I mean, if child rearing was so horrible like it is nowadays with all this ADD and ADHD and autism, the human race would have never survived these thousands and thousands of years. It wouldn't have done it. People would have said, heck with this, I'm not having any kids. This is too much work. But it's not. It's a wonderful, wonderful God-given gift that he gives us the ability, you know, through the Holy Spirit and through the sperm and through the egg to create life through his power. And so, guys, it's really important that you take care of your kids, because I'm telling you what, a child with autism or a child with ADD or a child with a learning disability, they're really, really a lot more work and much more difficult. I had years ago, I had a lady, her husband had come down with heart disease, and she called me up and she ordered all of our CDs and all of our books and all of our tapes, everything. Gosh, back then it was probably $800 or $900 worth of stuff. And I told her, I said, well, it's a lot of stuff to get. It's a lot of research. And I said, and she said, it's going to be pretty expensive. It's going to be, you know, $800 or $900, close to $1,000 of shipping. And I said, but you will be happy to ship it all to you. And she goes, expensive. She goes, my husband just had a bypass surgery. He had complications. We spent $250,000 and he's completely debilitated right now. Probably will never go back to work again. He goes, Ted, that's expensive. buying your books and buying your CDs and learning from your emails and your stuff that you send out, that's not expensive. That's just a blessing to be able to do all of this. And I wish we'd have known about the fact that you could have natural ways to actually reduce heart disease, reduce the risk, and reverse it, that's been shown by dietary change, before we went in for this bypass surgery. So guys, think about this. And Austin, it happened with you back when you were 18 years old, 19 years old, when you got out of the, when you graduated with your bachelor's degree, and you were, you passed all of your stuff to go into the Marine Corps. I told you, I said, son, we haven't immunized you. So when they put you in the Marines, they're gonna shoot you up. And I said, they may give you a waiver and keep you in the 48 states or whatever, but they're not going to ship you into active duty combat, without all the vaccinations. And I said, just be aware of what can happen to you if you get shocked with all these compounds at the same time, now that you're 18, 19, 20 years old. But the truth is, Austin, because your immune system was already established at that age, it may or may not have affected you. You may have gotten a little bit sick from it, even though a lot of kids who have gotten those shots, especially the one for, which is that one nerve agent they were using? I forgot it. It
was anthrax.
Anthrax. They get the anthrax shock. They got deathly ill. Some of them died from it in the military. But the truth is, because your immune system is better informed and stronger, it's not nearly as risky as it is giving an injection into a newborn like that. Newborns' immune systems are designed to be maintained by their mom's breast milk for the first year of life. And they don't need anything. These kids are just, these breastfed babies, they're so healthy, Austin. You're going to see that. And they're so easy to raise. And healthy children are just a pleasure and they're easy to raise. So, and I know I'm rambling, so let me go start another one. In North Carolina, students are going to be allowed to carry pepper spray to defend themselves against transgender bathroom attacks. God. This is from the AP Wire. A North Carolina school system has adopted a policy allowing high school students to carry pepper spray this fall. Policy, one board member said, may be useful for students who encounter transgender classmates in the bathroom. I can't even believe I'm reading this. The Salisbury Post reports the policy was adopted by the Rowan Salisbury Board of Education during a week session on Monday. Board member Chuck Hughes and said using the sprays was purely defensive, and he referenced the North Carolina law that limits lesbian, gay, and transgender rights, saying such sprays could help female students if they go into the bathroom and don't know who's coming in after them. The defensive spray clause won't affect students until it's published in the upcoming student handbook. I can't even believe that we're talking about having to use pepper spray in high school to defend yourself against transgender attacks in public bathrooms. It's obfuscation. This whole thing with the transgender bathrooms is obfuscation. It's about the media being told what they're supposed to talk about and fill the media with. They don't want to talk about the election. They don't want to talk about Trump. They don't want to talk about chemtrails. They don't want to talk about the economy collapsing. They don't want to talk about gold going up or silver going up. They don't want to talk about anything. All they want to talk about are basically the things that are going to entertain the masses. It's back like we're back in the Roman Colosseum and we got bread and circuses going on and they're keeping us entertained. Are you not entertained? So you don't stop and look up at the sky and see this filth and these poisons they're spraying on you every day and all of the stuff that you're breathing that's horrible for you and the water that you're being poisoned with fluoride. Don't look at that. There's nothing happening there. Look at the transgender bathroom issue. Get into a big fight about that. Don't worry about the fact that there have been 3,000 or 4,000 babies aborted today. Thousands of boys have probably been raped by Catholics today. Thousands of other children have gone missing in the United States today. And thousands of other children globally have been sold into the sex slave today. And probably thousands more have been sacrificed, I'm talking full-blown satanic sacrifice today on the planet. Don't think about any of that. Think about transgender bathrooms and having to protect yourself with pepper spray. Unbelievable, son.
Well, you're right. The media attention that it's received now, and that's what it comes down to. It's obfuscation. That's why you see such the push in the media every time the college football season starts, basketball, baseball. It's always all this obfuscation. Then they have the whole fantasy football thing that all these guys get involved in. And I've always asked before, I'm like, is your life that boring? You have to pretend you're in fantasy NFL draft? I mean, are we joking right now? Is this what we have to do to occupy our time? You don't have anything else you could be doing better with your time. And it's the truth. I mean, that's what the media does, is they give us the same thing you said, the bread and circuses. They want to keep everybody, controlled with what they want them to be focused on. And this is one of them. Now, I'm not saying the whole entire issue is it serious, and it's definitely something that we need to fight back and respond to, but the amount of pressure and push that it's getting in the media now is definitely clear. There's a lot of other agenda behind it. And the truth about it is, these girls are probably never going to have an issue with a true transgender individual that really is psychologically confused about their gender. The issue that it comes about is what we've discussed before, is perverts now using this as an excuse to enter into women's bathrooms and try and get involved in all types of shenanigans because they can use the guise now of transgender. That's really what is the biggest issue with. But everybody wants to make it, you know, we're scared of transgenders. Quite frankly, the population of transgenders is so low, the likelihood of a significant issue happening with a true transgender individual in the bathroom is almost next to impossible. I mean, it's so remote, it's not even something that anybody should be worried about. Now, weirdos coming in posing as transgenders with cameras and stuff like that, that's a whole other story.
That's true. Now, here's another good story, though. A man is suing for $5 million over glyphosate-contaminated oatmeal cereal. The presence of the toxic chemical glyphosate in a simple and a breakfast staple has become the subject of a $5 million lawsuit brought by a consumer against Quaker Oats. The contamination flies in the face of the company's claim that it produces that its products are 100% natural, according to the lawsuit. The lawsuit set against the breakfast food giant alleges that the carcinogenic chemical glyphosate is being used on oats meant for human consumption, even being sprayed on them during harvest. And it says that this widespread attention of glyphosate contamination now is getting some attention. This is what we have to do. I know, as bad as that sounds, is these people that are poisoning us, we have to get class action lawsuits against them, because these guys are not being protected by the Vaccine Protection Act that Reagan signed. There's nothing that you can do to vaccine manufacturers in the United States, but you can sure sue Quaker Oats. And see, that's the thing, is if more and more people get on board here, these manufacturers are going to start testing for this compound, and they're going to stop buying products that have been sprayed with glyphosate. So, and I think it's a great idea. Yep. What do you think?
Well, yeah, especially with Vermont's ruling now, is if any of these guys get busted without disclosing that their product contains glyphosate or GMO origins, and they don't have it listed on the label, they're going to be in a massive lawsuit with the Vermont bill because of that. So that is why I've been so excited about that it actually passed, because it's going to force a lot of these manufacturers to mandatorily label it. And then a lot of them now, as we've already seen with Dannon and multiple other companies, they're just going to decide to start doing it cleaner, because quite frankly, they know that it's healthier. I mean, these food manufacturers, they're not stupid. They read articles. They do research. They look at all this stuff. They're not ignorant. They're very, very well educated. Most of them are, as far as the upper top. They know what's in this food, and they know that if it'll increase their shareholders, if it'll increase their profits, and they can actually give the United States a better, higher quality food and increase their name brand, then they're going to do it. And that's what they're starting to do now. And so it's very exciting to see this transformation and change. Another article again now about cell phone radiation, and I've brought this up numerous times again, like vaccines, but the reason why I keep bringing this up is because the constant habitual overuse of cell phones that I witness on a daily basis, every time I go somewhere, just I like to reiterate the fact on how dangerous these things are, especially every time a new research study comes out. They stated now here, the weight of the evidence is clear. Cell phones do cause brain cancer, says Dr. DeVras Davis, president of the Environmental Health Trust, said children are particularly vulnerable to the damaging effects of cell phone radiation, even in the womb, the experts warned. That's why pregnant women should also limit their cell phone use. Keep the phone away from the abdomen, especially towards the end of the pregnancy. And I had this discussion with Lana a lot when she was pregnant, with the iPad and the phone, is making sure, you know, you're keeping it held out. You have it on the table somewhere. I mean, granted, you're going to have exposure to it, but they talk about how, you know, if it's 6 inches away versus 12 inches away, the actual reduction in radiation is significantly lower just from a few inches away. Every time it goes a few more inches away, it's much, much, much safer for you versus being right up against your skin. They go on here, they say cell phones emit a type of radiation known as radio frequency radiation, which is RFR. It is used to transmit wireless internet signals, which is different from ionizing radiation, which is X-rays, which is known to cause DNA damage and cancer. Until recently, most health experts insisted that RFR was simply too low energy to cause the kind of cell damage that causes cancer, even as the studies linked RFR exposure and the cancer continued to pile up. And there's research articles on it from 2010, 2011, 2012, and then another one now in 2015 was finally finished, and the study of electromagnetic biology and medication provided part of the answer as to how RFR leads to cancer. A review of the prior research into the biological effects of RFR exposure showed the levels of radiation absorbed through normal cell phone or wireless internet use produce oxidative stress, a condition in which the body's antioxidant capability is overwhelmed and free radicals start to build up in the body. Free radicals cause oxidative damage to cells and DNA, which have been strongly linked to cancer, heart disease, dementia, and other health conditions. This is one of the reasons why the alpha-lipoic acid controlled release supplement that we carry is such a huge product. Alpha-lipoic acid is what is known as a free radical scavenger. It actually hunts down and breaks down and absorbs free radicals. And the problem is alpha-lipoic acid is generally has about a 30-minute spike in the bloodstream once it's ingested, and then it falls off rapidly after that as it is used very, very quickly in the body. That's why when we brought ours out years ago, we came out with our ALACR, which is a controlled release. And what it does is it's a multi-layered tablet. It's one of the only products we carry that's a tablet. And what this does is it stays in the bloodstream for about 6 to 8 hours, depending on the individual, providing a good low dose of ALA in the bloodstream through a steady peak and plateau all throughout the day, essentially, which really helps to reduce free radicals, which we see exactly is directly caused by cell phones and other issues, obviously stress. But I would dare to say that cell phone usage, especially as much as we're seeing nowadays, is probably going to be one of the biggest aspects of free radicals. And then it goes on here to say how children are especially vulnerable to health risk of cell phones, and because their brains absorb twice as much radiation as adult brains do, given the same exposure. They said this explains why the pregnant women's cell phone use can affect her unborn child. There's a correlation between cell phone use and pregnancy and behavioral problems in children, said Dr. Hugh Taylor of the Yale School of Medicine. So I thought that was a pretty interesting article I wanted to address again, just to kind of give you guys another incentive to stay off your phones, at least keep it away from your head, at least use speaker, and for goodness sakes, keep it away from your kids. I see these parents that give these kids these iPhones and these iPads, and they just let them sit on them for hours, hours, just nonstop, and that's completely unnecessary. There's no reason with the amount of creative imagination that most children have that they have to sit like a idiot at the table and play a game for hours on end when you're at dinner, when you have people over. Let them go outside and play outside. Let them go ride a bicycle. Let them play with, you know, Lincoln Logs. Let them play with toys. Let them do things that are normal for children. They have their whole lives, they're going to have an iPhone strapped to them once they get older. You don't need to start it when they're 2 and 3 years of age.
Oh, God, Austin, you sound like I did. You sound like I still do. It's so funny to hear you say
that. Well, I mean, it's the truth, man. It really is.
Well, no, but you pulled up two articles, that one and the one on the immunizations and the brain inflammation. I want you to post both of those on our website. And guys, okay, we're going to send an email out to you guys that are on the email list. We're going to give you the hyperlinks to these two articles because I want you guys to have them available to send out to your friends. And again, this is what I always try to do whenever I get a really, really good article, you know, in our emails. I always send it out to my listeners and to our folks. And we've got a lot of people, you know, a lot of people on our email list. I mean, it's huge. And so this is what I want you guys to realize is that when you sign up for the emails, they're free. And we keep you updated with all of this current information. Now, what was interesting, when I was down in Italy, very few people were on their iPhones. And same thing when I was over in Bavaria 2 weeks ago, over in Salzburg in Austria, very few people on their iPhones. This morning or yesterday, we were riding around on a tram in Zurich, Switzerland, and literally every single person on the tram, I mean, like everybody, but besides me, Sharon, and Savannah, were on their iPhones and iPads. I couldn't believe it, Austin, so you're absolutely right. You get these things glued to you and strapped to you early enough, and of course, the countries that have the highest productivity are the ones that are using the most of these things because it really does increase productivity, but the truth of the matter is, like Austin said, you know, let your child play with, you know, with Matchbox cars. Let them play with Lincoln Logs. Let them play Monopoly. You know, let them play with things that don't require electronics, because they're going to be exposed to all of this stuff soon enough when they get older. They're going to be using it all the time. And in the meantime, just let them be kids. I mean, and plus on top of that, you get these kids involved with these iPads and these iPhones, and they get 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, or they have an older kid show them how to look up porn and how to bypass the parental controls on the phones. And all of a sudden, now they're 10 years old looking at pornography. I mean, you don't need that. Trust me on that, guys. I got too many friends whose kids have been involved in that, and it really messes these people up, these kids. And just because they're girls, don't think that the girls won't do it too, because they're just as curious as the boys are, especially if the older kids start promoting them and prodding them to do it. So, you know, use the screens the best you can. Keep the iPhone phone the security passwords changed on a regular basis. Make sure your kids don't know, you know, what they are. Make sure that they're not left alone with the kids in the room when you're not home. And just use wisdom. It's like having the Playboy channel on your doggone TV and thinking the kids aren't going to watch it. Are you kidding me? They're going to watch it because they're curious. They're kids. So don't get any of that stuff. We don't have any premium channels on our home TV. Until a few years ago, we had an antenna. And the antenna is still strapped to the side of my house. And finally, it broke. And the guy was so old that had put the antenna up for us. The technology is so antiquated that we couldn't get it repaired anymore. And so we ended up putting cable in. But, you know, Austin, when you were young, we never had cable TV at the house. You remember that?
Yeah.
And we didn't have internet. Remember that? We didn't have internet either. Yep. We didn't have it. We had an old pocket flip phone. That was all we had.
Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, that's exactly what we did. And there's a reason why. You don't need all that stuff, especially at a young age. I mean, as you start to get older and you're going out with friends, you need to be able to get a hold of your parents. That's one thing. But I remember even back then, you guys used to have a backup cell phone or secondary cell phone, and I would take it with me whenever I went somewhere, and that way you guys need to get a hold of me. I had it, but other than that, it was so basic. I mean, I don't even think it text back then. I think it was
We made sure that the internet was completely disconnected off of it, and you're right. I don't even think it text.
Well, yeah, I don't even think those phones back then, I don't even think they offered internet on them unless they were the real, real fancy ones. And the ones I remember, they were just like little push-button flip phones. It was like a little pixel screen.
That's right. Here's another interesting story. 50% of Bernie Sanders voters, 50% will pick Trump over Hillary. Whoa. It's from Kit Daniels. Sanders won West Virginia with about 124,000 votes compared to Clinton's 86,000, meaning that approximately 72% of the votes Clinton received in the primary, half of Sanders, represents the Democrats who would vote for Trump. Trump's chances against Clinton would be better than anyone even thought, even Fox News has admitted. Bernie's voters are already disgusted with how the Democratic Party is rigging the nomination for Clinton, even though Sanders continues to win states this late in the race. Despite their different ideologies, Sanders is a socialist, basically he's a communist, and Trump a Reaganist nationalist. I wouldn't even call Trump that, or he's not a Reaganist. Both candidates are populists who are viewed as outsiders, unlike the Wall Street finance Clinton. So what they're saying is that Bernie Sanders people, 50% of them, aren't even going to vote for Clinton because of what the Democratic Party is doing. They're going to vote for Trump. So this is going to be pretty exciting if they let us have a real election, Austin.
It should be interesting. I don't think they will, but we can always hope that that'll happen. But, you know, there may be, I mean, there's an extent only so much they can rig this without it just being, you know, excessively clear that they were trying to manipulate it, because we see now what type of support Trump is getting in the voters, you know, and then the polls and everything else. So all of a sudden, if they start having votes and, you know, you start seeing Clinton take 80-95% of all these different areas that Trump had already won, and won with more, you know, polls and primary candidates than Clinton did, then we're going to know there's significant issue there. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with it. But now in Venezuela, and this is one of the reasons why, guys, I have repeatedly told you guys about making sure you have some backup food on hand. It's not because I'm trying to sell you food. It's simply, you know, it doesn't matter to me if you buy it from me or somebody else, or, you know, cans at the store. We carry it for our friends and family that want to get it from us, and for our customers that want to get it from us. But Venezuela now is pretty much full-blown riot panic mode. Their inflation now has reached almost 400%, actually 397 0.4% to be exact, what their inflation rate is now. The situation in Venezuela is reaching all-out chaos. Is their policies that are resulting in a devastating power and food shortage. The point was reached long ago where people were forced to wait in long, long lines for basic rations that may not even be there. Now, hunger has apparently reached a tipping point that people are driving to poach stray animals and even pets for food and are basically dismembering them and cleaning them in the middle of the street now. I mean, they're going after dogs, they're going after pigeons, they're going after goats. This is serious. That's how hungry these people are getting. So the crisis in Venezuela is getting so bad now due to shortages reaching over 70%. Six Venezuelan military officials were arrested for stealing goats for their food, as there was no food at all at the Fort Minor military base. There's no food there. A man accused of mugging people in the streets of Caracas was surrounded by a mob of onlookers, then beaten and set on fire. So it's getting chaotic over there, guys. And this is the biggest reason why I tell you is everybody has to get to a point where they're self-sufficient. You know, at least moderately self-sufficient to the point where you don't have to rely on government handouts or food banks if you have the ability to do so and have backup food on hand for you and your family and your close friends. Because when stuff like this starts happening, granted, Venezuela is a third world country, but you see the level of what people, you know, stoop down to when they get hungry. There's no question about it. It's been the same in history for thousands of years. People will do anything when they get hungry. And Venezuela is a prime example of what's happening right now in 2016. This isn't 100 years ago. It's 2016. So I thought I would address that again to give you guys a kind of reality check on having some backup food and provisions on hand all the time in the event that something does happen, that you are self-sufficient for an extended period of time.
That's the what it is the Rothschild boys. They're still mad at Chavez wanting to have his gold back. And these international monetary finance bankers, rapists, whatever you want to call them, this synagogue of Satan that runs around the planet doing all of this stuff. They're awful, and you know now they're basically putting the hammer down on Venezuela because of what's happened, you know, before with their prior leadership. Venezuela, even though it was a third world country, I will agree with you on that, Austin. It was still a beautiful country because it had so many oil reserves, and it was pumping a lot of oil, and it was making a lot of money. But right now, though, if it's not careful, it's going to go to cannibalism down there. And that's usually what happens within 12 days, 2 weeks to 3 weeks after food supplies start to run out, people revert to cannibalism. In other words, people start dying and then they start eating other people. If they're already killing their own pets and eating the dogs and the pigeons and everything else they can find to eat, that's a pretty desperate situation. And see, we need to look at that and realize that if the United States got hit by an electronic magnetic pulse, if the United States got hit by a major global catastrophe, which caused a massive recession or depression, we'd have the same types of problems. Remember years ago, we read this article this man had written who used to work for the Department of Homeland Security in FEMA. And he said they're planning on what they're doing is they're going to be sending buses to the neighborhoods to pick people up to take them to detention centers. And the people are going to willingly get on the buses because they won't have any food to eat. And what's going to happen is they're not going to have to go house to house to search the houses in the United States. He said they won't do that. He said they're going to send the buses and tell everybody to hop on the bus. They're taking them to the FEMA center to be fed and be housed and be taken care of. And then once they get to the FEMA centers, and they're going to be run through the metal screeners and everything else to make sure they're not armed, and they're going to disarm them that way. He said they don't have to fire any shots because the people are going to willingly go to FEMA camps because they're going to be starving to death. And see, this is what Obama did a few years ago. He signed one of his executive orders allowing him to seize all stored food, stored assets, stored fuel, stored everything for feeding the population in the event of a national emergency. In other words, he's not trying to teach anybody to be self-sufficient and have stuff stored for themselves and for their family. He wants to make sure that he has an executive order signed. He can come in and take all of your stuff and force everybody into a FEMA camp. And that's the goal here. The goal is going to be disarmament through that, because there's no way they're going to go house to house. It's too difficult, especially as large as the United States is and as heavily armed as the population is. But the people that aren't prepared They're going to willingly walk into FEMA camps and detention facilities, and they're going to say, my pastor told me that Romans 13 said I'm supposed to obey you guys, so I'm here. My pastor told me that I didn't need to store any food because God would provide my needs, so I'm here. My pastor told me that I shouldn't be voting for Donald Trump because Donald Trump, you know, wasn't in the best interest of the American population. My pastor, and they're going to start that all, they're going to start with that, my pastor told me. And listen to me, guys. If you're a pastor, or if you're a leader, the Bible says to you, and it warns you, you're going to be held to a much higher level of accountability. Much higher level. Don't be telling people things they shouldn't be doing or what they should be doing. They shouldn't be doing it. Now, this morning, when I was meeting with our customer from Switzerland, it was so funny. She was telling me about another medical doctor that I personally know, and that he had written a book. He's supposed to be this big nutrition guru. He had written a book that basically told everybody to immunize their children, because immunizations were good. They were a good thing. Immunizations were good. And I laughed at her and I said, look, this guy eats aspartame. He eats pork. He eats shellfish. He doesn't do what he says he's going to do. His wife and him aren't in agreement. Neither one of them eat clean. I said, this guy is a complete and total phony. And I said, I know he's written a lot of books. I understand all that. But the guy's really, really not who you think he is. And she goes, really? She goes, I'm sorry to hear that. I said, well, I am too. I said, but the truth of the matter is, I said, you see what we're eating. In fact, she was so funny. We invited her up to the room because we weren't ready quite for breakfast yet, because she got here early. And she wanted to see all the vitamins we brought with her. We showed her the big duffel bag full of vitamins and supplements and protein powder. She goes, well, I was wondering how you guys were eating. Well, then we ate it. We were at the Sheraton last night. And we told her, we said, well, we're not even sure if you're going to be able to eat any of breakfast, because usually we just have stuff in the room, because the breakfast in some of these Sheraton hotels are awful. And sure enough, we got down to the breakfast this morning, Austin and she wouldn't eat, I wouldn't eat, mom didn't want to eat. You know, I had a couple of eggs cooked in butter, that's about all I had. And it's just, you know, that when you start getting to some of these hotel chains, they don't really care about food quality, and it's really, really kind of sad. But we eat clean, and she saw that this morning. I know you eat really clean. I eat really clean. Heck, I won't even get in my jacuzzi in my hot tub if it's been contaminated with chemtrails. I'll dump the entire thing first and fill it up with fresh well water. You know it's true. You see me do it. And I mean, that thing holds 500 gallons of water. I dump the whole thing to get the chemtrails out of it and get the chlorine out of it and everything else out of it and put all fresh water. Then I rinse it all out and pump it out again, because I won't soak in that mess. But that's how clean we eat. So, guys, listen to me. When you hear me and Austin talking, we're holding back on what we really do. We really do a lot more than we tell you, because we really do practice what we preach. Our talk walks even louder than our talk talks. And if you ever get to know us or come down here and visit us in Central Florida, which you guys are all invited to come by and say hi, you'll see that. You know, we do what we say we're going to do. So it's a lot of fun being here with you guys and helping to support you guys and teaching you guys how to eat clean and how to have the right kind of lifestyle. So thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your supplements from us, and thank you for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. Austin, what's your next story?
Yeah, one last one I wanted to, you know, touch on real quick is we hear about this all the time with the breast cancer awareness and this just hype almost to get people, you know, almost scared of breast cancer. And a Dr. H. Gilbert Welch, who's the author of Less Medicine, More Health, just came out with a book that I was reading about earlier, and he talks about how the cancer industry uses psychological terrorism and focuses on basically using fear as a weapon against patients. And a couple quotes he has in here. He goes, first, he goes, to get people interested in mammogram screenings in the first place, we have to get people to worry about the disease we're screening for. He goes, the phrase typically used to describe the effort is raise awareness, like I just mentioned. He goes, it's a nice euphemism, but it really doesn't describe what needs to be done. He goes, some disease needs to be introduced into the population for this to be effective. In other words, people need to be scared about dying from the disease. They need to be made to feel more vulnerable. There is an enormous climate of fear, whether it's from Breast Cancer Awareness Month or the news media the other 11 months of the year. The only thing you ever hear about breast cancer is some woman who's dying because she didn't get treated in time. He goes, secondly, he comes back to how the odds are stacked against screening. He goes, many, often thousands, must be tested to potentially benefit a very few. Any harms from the testing, including false alarms, complications, issues with diagnostic procedures, etc., are multiplied since so many people are going through it. He goes, once again, breast cancer screening is the poster child for the problem. What is the most certain about screening mammograms in the United States is that it leads to a lot of false alarms, worrisome problems, higher stress, subsequent testing, other mammograms, more ultrasounds, MRIs, biopsies, ultimately almost all the time finding no cancer. Because, for example, among 1,000 American women age 50 and up screened annually for a decade, how many of them will have at least one false alarm? Somewhere between 490 and 670 out of each 1,000. And he goes, in a 70 to 100 out of those will be biopsy to prove they don't have cancer. He goes, this data comes directly from the mammograms themselves, the Breast Cancer Surveillance Consortium. He goes, the screening problem that alarms half the population is outrageous. No European country would ever tolerate this. And he goes into detail about some specific incidents that have happened. I don't have time to read them all. But I find it interesting because you hear about this every time it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Everybody's running around with pink stuff. There's all these commercials. They're getting everybody scared about it. Breast cancer awareness, breast cancer awareness. And the truth is, they're absolutely right. How many times do you hear about people that go through all this scare tactics, all these testing to find out that absolutely nothing? And then occasionally you do have somebody that has an issue, and they get and it catches it early, and so they completely praise it. It's this huge deal. We caught it early, but it doesn't talk about all the psychological issues and time and pain and suffering, all these other women that have to go through this that really absolutely did not need to, when most of the time proper diet, supplementation, and lack of stress and taking something like, you know, free radical scavengers to begin with, like ALA, alpha-lipoic acid, are really good bases just to keep the immune system strong, and you don't even have to worry about going and getting annual mammograms every month. What do you think about this, Dad? I mean, is this psychological warfare is what I basically think it is.
Well, the thing to remember, potassium iodide, 13 milligrams a day, massively reduces the risks of breast cancer. Vitamin D massively reduces the risks of breast cancer. Black seed oil massively reduces the risks of breast cancer. There's all kinds of natural things you can do to reduce the risks of breast cancer. But also remember, when a lot of people get these biopsies, when these hundreds of thousands of women get these biopsies, they come back with false positives. Well, then they go in and start having treatment protocols done to them because of a false positive. In other words, it says it's positive, and it's not even cancer. It was a mistake in the lab. So this is a mistake. You know, Sharon, your mom, she's never, ever had a mammogram done. We're not going to do that. And, you know, when she's, you know, 59 years old, we just don't do that. But, again, we eat super clean. Let me read one more article here. A video, this is out of Paris where, you know, this is Europe where I am now, where this is a police state. This is from Counter Current News. A triple amputee was left brutalized and beaten and humiliated after police searched a train platform, left him laying on the ground, struggling to reattach his prosthetics. I tried to explain to them it was a prosthetic, but they insisted on searching me. I felt totally and completely humiliated. 60,000 people signed a petition to have these police officers who left him laying on the dirt on the platform with his arms and legs, whatever prosthetics he had detached. They're asking them to be, you know, fired. Guys, listen to me. If you're part of the military or part of the government or part of the police, don't do this to people. You know, we're all humans. We're all here to love one another and help one another and treat people with respect. Guys, thank you for listening. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for supporting Health Masters. And I'll be back with you tomorrow. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys. If you need anything, email us or give us a call over here at healthmasters.com. We've had a good response on the body bomb. A lot of people have been ordering that because it's still on sale till next Wednesday. So I just want to give you a heads up on that. I'm not sure what's getting a lot of votes right now, but let us know. You know, if you go on our website, we have all these different products that you can vote on the front page, and every week they change by which one, you know, wins. And vote on them. You know, let them know. That's why we put that up there, is we do discounts on that product that wins every week, and because we want to get your feedback and find out what you guys are wanting, you know, to get discounts on, and we try and listen to you. So we appreciate it, guys. You have a blessed night, and we'll be back on the show with you guys again tomorrow.